So I'm really interested to know about the next big phase for you, which was going to Washington, D.C.
After I left ICA Media, I was doing my own web design. I was doing graphics there at ICA Media, doing covers. As a CD replicator, I still have a copy of a CD cover I made. I think it had to do with satellite imagery. You know, one of the things they'd hire is in their checkbox, do you want cover art? Mm-hmm. So it's one of my early introductions to Photoshop. I think it was Photoshop 4. So I made CD covers graphically and got into graphics. And while I was at ICA Media, I started also doing basic web design at the time as it started. ICA Media, before I left, they decided they wanted to get into internet hosting. So we created 7 email accounts. And since then, it's grown. ICA Media is the largest ISP in the region. They do big contracts. But after I left them, I explored more into graphics, and I explored more into web designing. All very crude back then. Everything was still dial-up. Oh, my God. But another thing, phase happened where I was very interested in the Babylon 5 TV show.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Went down to Worldcon. That was in San Francisco. And we went to a panel with J. Michael Straczynski just before Babylon 5 was in production.
Mm-hmm. And he's the writer-producer.
Writer-producer of Babylon 5. And he showed clips and very enthralled by it. At that point, got involved in watching it. Very enthused. Started, somehow found a what's it called? It was a chat room. It's called, I'll have to think about it. But was in a chat room about it, a group. And at that point, made friends. And the very thing that I was shocked about with my friend running off to get a wife seemed to have started happening to me, where I became fond of a girl. She is astrophysicist. This is no dumb girl. This was someone real smart. She worked for Hughes. She worked on satellites. She was an astronaut candidate. She was a scientist. Graduate of Purdue. But we hit it off. And then we did the phone calling thing for a while. Now, to back up a hint there, I was in a relationship, and my father needed home care and had to move in with my mom, as they had been divorced. And my mom was taking care of him. And I was getting calls at 3 a.m. to help. He had, a surgery had paralyzed him. So everything needed to be done for him. And I kept coming to help. At one point, it became that it just seemed ludicrous for me not to be closer than to get a call at 2 a.m. and drive over. I mean, fortunately, I was only 5 miles, 6 miles away, but still.
And that was still here in Washington, right?
Yes, actually. It was here locally.
Okay.
And all this was happening here in the north of Seattle neighborhoods. So at some point, my brother, he wasn't helping. It just seemed that the share of assistance was really offset between me doing a lot of this. And look, if I'm going to help, I'm going to have to be there. So, talked it over. Didn't think that it was going very far with the girl I was with. Broke that off. Broke off that relationship. Moved out. Moved into the back room of my mom's house so that I could help. And I did that for about 6 months. And in that time, of course, I'm involved with watching Babylon 5 and being part of this group and
a new fan community. Right?
This fan community for the group. Mm-hmm. And finding comfort in chit-chatting with a few people, and one of them was this other girl. Mm-hmm. After my father passed, I was there for another 5 months. Helped my mom clean up, was there to grieve, get things straightened away. But it got to a point where my mom really didn't need me anymore. At least I didn't think so. And I was more involved with the woman back east. Until I decided I was going to, you know, it's time. If I'm going to do something, I need to pack up the car and go. And I left Friday night around 5. And I reached Laurel, Maryland, Sunday night around 9 p.m.
Wow.
Through a blizzard.
That's a heavy-duty drive.
That was a heavy-duty drive. I was determined. But even on the way, I stopped at her parents' house and had breakfast. They accepted me like that. I was like, wow.
And you hadn't met in person before that moment.
No. No. And we met too fast. In a bit of irony. Within a week and a half, I guess, we were frustrated, and we had a fight, and I left, and headed back to Washington.
Wow. Whirlwind in, whirlwind
out. It was. I got to Billings, Butte, whatever, before the mountain pass, before Idaho. The road was closed. I-90 was closed because of snow. All of this during snow. So I had to stay the night at a hotel. And I got a phone call through the hotel, because I kept in touch with my mom, telling me that the woman has been trying to reach me, wanted to know where I was. So I call her up.
No cell phones.
No cell phones yet. They were out there, but I didn't have one. Call her up. She's in tears. Where are you? What do you mean, where am I? I'm on my way home. She goes, why? What do you mean, why? Well, I just thought you went off to go see your friend in New York or something. Or why? I don't want you to go home. Oh, my goodness.
So the stakes were a little higher on your side.
I had to make a decision. If I come back, we got to work this out smarter. I came back. I drove that country. I drove the country twice. You know, in a matter of weeks. But I went back. And had the relationship. I had a great time. But we just weren't compatible overall. And having the one interest, you know, in a TV show certainly isn't binding for anything long term. We found some similarities. We found some commonality. But it just wasn't enough. So we split up there. And I was in D.C. I mean, I was in Maryland. And I took on some odd jobs. One of them was being graphic designer for a film company. And I produced coupons and adverts for magazines and newspapers. And I did that for a while. But I had, computer skills. At this point, I was not only proficient with computers, which a lot of people still weren't. When I was in ISOMedia, I beta tested Windows 95. A lot of Windows 95 components. Which I still have all these early builds, disks, which I don't know why I don't throw them out, but...
Well, they belong in a museum of some kind.
Perhaps. Well, the short story is, I got involved with another girl that led me to Texas, where I started working for the New York State Department of Child Welfare. True story.
So you physically moved to Texas to work
in New York? Well, I didn't mean to. So honestly, I did not mean to go to Texas and work there. I just was there for a long time. Because I left all my stuff in Maryland. Yeah. But then I worked there for a while, and then I was like, I got to go back, and I went back. And started working for a temp agency, which put me into, I forget where they put me into. I think it was the FBI. And I started working, doing analysis there at the FBI. Using my computer skills.
So that it was computer skills that brought you to that table, not necessarily investigative skills.
No. Okay. No, it was just computer skills.
Okay.
And then I started doing more networking and infrastructure. And then I went through a big background check. Everything from the fingerprinting. I got a top secret rating at the time, so that I could do more stuff, and the FBI was going to hire me, and I was put into another position temporarily because there was this time limit with the, being a temporary in the FBI meant you couldn't work more than so many hours, not being an actual FBI employee. So while that was in limbo, I was sent to another facility, which was the National Science Foundation. And it was a whole different atmosphere, very academic, very different. And the interior of the building was in this circular fashion. It was like being on the Enterprise. Because you go around, and you just keep going around the bend. And I did a lot of work there that they really, really appreciated. I got the two best letters of recommendation I've ever gotten out of the people that wanted me there, that had me there. Well, then one day, early in January. The FBI offered me the position. At the same time, National Science Foundation offered me the position. And a contract company that was also there offered me a position. I had to choose. And I chose the National Science Foundation because it meant I'd be able to be part of, because of the positioning and the special assistance positioning, I'd be part of the Clinton administration. That wouldn't be like an FBI employee. I'd actually be part of the administration because now I was involved with the directorship with what I was doing. And it wasn't just computer skills anymore. Being a federal employee in that position out in D.C., you may have Title X, but you rarely do what X is. You do every other aspect of the alphabet. So even though I was there with some computer skills, I was there for being an assistant, scheduler, the whole gambit of possibility, which is much different than what FBI was offering. So, I got into the government, and I worked there for a few years, loved it, and then I moved over to the GSA, General Services Administration, and became a special assistant to the presidentially appointed director of the GSA, where I just did like everything, which didn't, I don't think I ever really did any graphics or any real computer skills. I just did everything. And was in the Clinton administration through the end.
Did you ever make it into the White House?
I was at the White House twice, but I, it wasn't very far into any of the building. I was in the West Wing, and that was mainly the lobby area because I was delivering. I'd been into to Congress. I've been in the Capitol building a few times. I've been into the Senate hearing rooms. One of the things that I did with the NSF, there was always hearings about, why do we gotta fund the meeting of Red Ants or whatever. And we would go and have to go and explain what that is,
and give it some value.
Give it the value to make people understand, because obviously when you see line items, you don't know. It's like, why are we funding that? Mm-hmm. That's a general question the country always asks when they hear something. Why are we funding that crazy thing? Why are we watching grass grow? Well, it's important because
someday it could lead to...
It will lead. We'll need to know.
Nobody ever started out researching television, but...
Exactly.
A lot of different disciplines went into creating it and mm-hmm. changed the world.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Well, right near the end, right after... I was actually scheduled right after that, after Bush was elected, I started feeling ill. I was having a kidney issue. One of the things that I was going to go do was work in the Pentagon. It was one of the options. That or the Nuclear Regulatory Commission had had an office north in Maryland that was a possibility. I had a lot of options, some options. But I got ill, had a weird thing happen to me, and I had to step away and take some disability. And it turned out my kidney was a problem, along with this thing that was going on with me. And at the time, the girlfriend I had, who I was living with, we talked about it. Doing research, kidney donation and transplant was higher here in the Northwest per capita than in the East. So for me to get a transplant or for my duration on dialysis, it would be shorter here in the Northwest. The average back east was 5 years. Here was 3 years. I thought I'd come home, be more with family. And one day my girlfriend came home and said, "We're moving." And that was in 2000, I think.
And you were already into dialysis at that point?
Not yet.
No?
It was just... The kidney thing really wasn't the problem at that point so much as what was going on with me with this other condition. Okay. So we moved back here, bought a house to the point where then the kidneys failed. I was on dialysis for about three, 3 years and 3 months.
So it was a double failure.
No, just the... Well, the hereditary issue I had, polycystic kidneys, is cysts that grow in the kidney. Uh-huh. And as they grow, it reduces the function of the kidney, but it also expands out. The kidney grows the kidney to a huge size.
Okay.
And as it does, it takes up space, presses against the lungs, the heart, and everything, and makes things difficult. So I had to have that removed. Okay. But I was on dialysis. And every year, January 14th, I have a little anniversary celebration because that was the first day I saw Kelly. It was the first day I saw Kelly being there at the dialysis center. She worked there. And after being there 2.5 years, she left to move on to something else. Shortly after, I got my transplant. Turns out she was following my little blog that I had running. And later we started talking and hooked up, met up, and she couldn't stay away from me. So I've known Kelly. Did we say 2002 or 2003? 2002, since January 14th, 2002.
Okay.
And we've been together since 2007.
Six.
I suppose we could call it that. It was October, November, 2006. Finally, but it was more December when we first committed to living together. We were together before for a couple months in earlier the year. So now, and we unfortunately, this thing that happened, we, every year at Christmas, we magically caught a cold. And during Christmas, we were in bed suffering from our little colds.
Christmas.
Well, it just seemed that way. And it passed. And that happened a few times. But the third time it happened, hers passed, mine didn't pass so much. And I was a bit stubborn.
And was this related to the kidney transplant at all?
No. Actually, the kidney's completely fine.
Okay.
But what happened was I caught a pneumonia, didn't treat it right, didn't respect it. And had the lung issue to the point where I had a tracheotomy, was on a ventilator. It looked like this was it. And I can tell you, being on a ventilator, unable to talk, and not being able to do anything but lay there, there's not a lot of hope. But I fought my way through, and I fought my way out of there. And I can say it was probably one of the strongest fights I've ever had for anything. It's 3 months. Now, the goals it kept setting for me seemed so, so far away. And I was told there are people right next door that will never leave the way I was in, the condition I was in. They would never leave that because they didn't have any will or any hope or any future or any... And I didn't want to be that way. And I got to tell you, there was terrible pain, but the fight, so that I could leave this place. You know, it happened. And I finally got a voice back. This is not my original voice. It's been very altered because of the stresses and the vocal cords and the things that have happened from that one particular incident. So when I left, I had regained a lot of strength. I regained a lot of muscle mass. I regained a lot of independence. I was able to function normally. Just had a little bit of, you know, just a little bit that would, you know, I'd have to work really hard to actually get desaturated and, you know, have to sit down. But, you know, that's, unfortunately, it's progressed. And it's kind of starting to progress a little faster. I was projecting that I'd have a particular amount of time, but that time is seemingly coming closer and faster than I originally projected. And there's not much I can do about it. I can't. We tried for a lung transplant, but the other condition I'm dealing with would prevent that. When the doctor told me, he rang me and was telling me how they had to deny me, it was hard to hear. But he also said, because of this other condition, had he transplanted me earlier, when I was technically in a better place to do it, technically, he thinks I would have been dead by then. This was in 2012. Mm. He thinks I would have been dead by that point in 2012 because this other condition with my esophagus probably would have gotten my lungs infected, and I probably would have died from the infection. Mm. I don't know if that's mixed blessing, but
well, it was an escape. I don't know how narrow it was, but it was obviously a shorter path than the one you're on now.
Yeah. Yep.
I also think it was the doctor's way of, along with giving you the bad news, giving you some good news.
Giving me some good news.
Right.
But I think that's what was very plausible, seeing that I've aspirated a few times. Once that led me to the hospital, actually did lead me back to the hospital for a short period. But with a lung transplant, I don't get that feeling of aspiration. So fluid would go into my lungs, sit there, and become an infection, and I wouldn't know it. Mm. Now if I aspirate, obviously I can feel it, cough it out. But obviously with the lung transplant, that wouldn't have happened. And with the future of more aspirations, yeah, it'll probably kill me. So maybe it is a mixed blessing. Okay.